Good morning, everyone. This morning we are continuing with the series that we've been doing on the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we find in Romans chapter 12. And this morning we are going to be looking at the lovely gift of giving. Isn't that a lovely gift? Giving. Who likes to receive? Who likes to give? Yes, it's great. So we're going to look at what is the spiritual gift of giving and some practical ways in which we can continue in our giving individually and corporately. Okay, so what is the spiritual gift of giving? Well, a definition would be this. It is the divine enablement to contribute resources, time, finances to God's work with sincerity, liberality, and good cheer. So in other words, it's giving of ourselves with whatever God has blessed us with, time, energy, talents, money, with a sincere heart, with a generous heart, and with a smile on our face. And as we know, God gives us gifts so that we can build up his church. And so to use these gifts effectively, we must realise that, well, all gifts come from God in the first place. Not everyone has the same gift, as we know. We know who we are. We know what we do best. And so let's dedicate our gifts to God's service, and not just for our own personal success in life, but let's continue to be willing to use our gifts wholeheartedly and give with a good attitude and joy as we seek to advance God's work here on earth and to see his kingdom extended, which basically means to see people come to know God and share in all the great things that he has for us on this earth. And yet we have a wonderful eternity to look forward to in heaven as well. And over the last few months, we've been looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've been looking at the gift of teaching, discernment, leadership. And we've been looking at all these spiritual gifts, teaching, prophecy, and it's been great and really helpful to get more insight into these gifts. And what has struck me the most is that they are all so practical and accessible. We can all use these gifts. We can all operate in them. And today we are looking at this gift of giving. And yet again, we are looking at a practical gift that we can all use within church life. And I feel personally that as a church, we're doing really well in this area and we are operating in all the spiritual gifts. And I think that is really fantastic. It just shows the spiritual temperature on each individual's heart to follow God and to serve God and to seek God's ways in their life. And when we think of just recent things like Reach and Wild Journeys, you know, as a church, we have given corporately to these wonderful works which are reaching people, you know, the other side of the world. And we are placed in this area and God is using us to even affect our local community. You know, think of some of the things we've got coming up in the next few weeks where we're practically out there serving the community, clearing the sort of walkways and showing people that, you know, we care and that we're prepared to give of our time and of our resources. And it's great to give. It's also great to receive. And I know that we're doing this individually and corporately as a church, because there have been times when I have received somebody else's gift of giving. And each one of us, I'm sure, can say that we have all received from somebody else's gift of giving. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And so this morning, this sort of little talk on the gift of giving is to really encourage us and to spur us on to continue in a good heart of giving. And maybe it may even challenge us because in the area of giving. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes in our spiritual lives, we're ticking along nicely. We're sort of, you know, everything's going well. We're reading our Bible. We're sort of, you know, praying regularly. Worship is part of our life. We're living the life and doing what, you know, God is calling us to do when things are ticking along. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit comes alongside gently and reminds us of some things. I've found this in my own life. Very regularly, the Holy Spirit will come alongside and gently remind me of things that perhaps I have let slip, or perhaps things that I have forgotten about. And maybe for those of us who perhaps haven't been a Christian for very long, the Holy Spirit will gently come alongside and say, look, you haven't had a go of this yet. And he will encourage us and challenge us to have a go at things. And so today is all about encouraging us and spurring us on and to continue in this gift that we are operating in. And sometimes, you know, we can be challenged in it as well. So let's be open-hearted to what the Holy Spirit would want to say to us today. Okay, I love the Greek. Do you like the Greek? Yeah? I'd love to study a bit of Greek. Maybe one day. Well, Spanish, I think I'd like to study first, but anyway. It's a bit more widely used across the world, isn't it? But the Greek word for giving is metadidomi. Shall we all say metadidomi? And this word is a great word because in the Greek we find that one word in English in the Greek can mean lots of different, not different things, but it is explained differently by the use of many words as opposed to perhaps our limited English. And so when we look at the Greek for giving, metadidomi, it basically means to share, to impart, or to bestow. And it simply means unconditional giving. When we are giving something away with no strings attached, whether that's our time, our talents, our gifts, our resources, and even our money. Let's say money. Money. Let's get it out of the system. Let's say money. Money. Nobody likes that word, do they? Money is taboo. It's a little bit touchy, you know. Some of us have got it, some of us haven't. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we lose it. And money can be a touchy subject. And in life, there are seasons of resources. And so, you know, we are going to talk a little bit about money today because, you know, that is one of the things God gives us. We all need money. We all need money to exist. And so we're going to talk openly about money as well. So the Holy Spirit directs the giver to exercise the gift for the common good, with no sense in their heart to want something back in return or to draw any attention to themselves. Isn't it wonderful when somebody gives something and there's no sort of sense of, right, if I'm giving that, I'm expecting something back in return. And in the world, that is kind of the way, isn't it? But in church life, and in the giving that we're talking about today, it's to have a heart to give without expecting anything in return. We're giving for the common good. A person gifted in giving is a person who enjoys giving in ways that are not noticed by others. They have no ulterior motive or want personal praise or to receive recognition or to have any power gained. They ask for nothing in return. They provide for a need with no strings attached. They give generously and even sacrificially to God's work. Now, when we look at the gift of giving, sometimes, you know, some people may think, well, you know, there is a temptation to connect this gift to people who are wealthy. Well, it's okay for them. They've got a good job. Or it's okay for them, that household, they've got two income streams coming in. Or it's okay for them to give. I can't give. I'm in debt. But actually, that is not the heart, because Jesus took special note of the poor woman who gave two small coins. And we find this little story in Luke chapter 21. Just read it out. There is a text on the screen, but mine is a slightly different version. As Jesus looked up, he saw some rich people putting their gifts into the temple money box. Then he saw a poor widow putting two small copper coins into the box. He said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow gave more than all those rich people. They gave only what they did not need. This woman is very poor, but she gave all that she had to live on. That's just a few small verses in the New Testament, and yet it has challenged people, you know, through the ages, really. And so here we see Jesus. We can imagine Jesus walking through the temple with his disciples trailing alongside, I'm sure. And here he is walking through the temple, and he notices this poor woman, this poor widow, putting in small coins into the temple treasury. And Jesus would have sort of walked through where the women's courts would have been in the temple, because back then, the women weren't sort of allowed to go into the, you know, meeting place like this with the men, and there was a segregated area for the women. And so this woman would have been in the women's courts in the temple, bringing her weekly offering, I'm sure, into the temple courts. And so Jesus notices her. She gave out of her poverty, he says, but had a willing heart. She gave sacrificially. And here, Jesus was admiring her for her generous giving. And I suppose one of the lessons we can learn from this story is that it's not the amount that matters, but it's the heart. Do we recognise this picture? Yeah. Isn't that a nice picture? Okay. This is our building. This is the building we are all sitting in here today. This is the building that 15 years ago, a very small group of people gave. And at the time, 15 years ago, Adam and I were sort of fresh out of school, and we joined the church, and a few years down the road, Julian was driving past this place. At that time, we were meeting in Julian and Sarah's front room, and on a Sunday, we would hire a very small little community centre in North Penlan. It was a lovely place. And basically, we couldn't wait to get our own place, you know, to establish God's work, to do all the stuff that, you know, God had put in our hearts to do. And Julian drove past this place and really had a sense in his spirit that this would be the place, as a local church, we would put our roots down and establish ourselves and sort of go public to do all the work that God was calling us at that time to do. And at that time, there were 12, 15 people, and it was a real mixed bag. You know, some of us were like fresh out of school, had no money. Julian and Sarah were living by faith. They had no income. Sarah had 3 small children at home. Julian was living by faith. There was no wage coming in. There was people who were on benefits who weren't in employment at that time. There were people who had some good jobs. You know, there were students, you know, in university and coming along to the church. There was a real mixed bag of people. But, you know, corporately, no matter where we were in life, we gave. We took the responsibility of the burden of the finances to get a deposit to buy this place. And I remember it, and it was a great time to give. And now, 15 years down the road, we are all here benefiting from that season of giving from a small group of people. And it was a privilege to give. And I tell you what the best privilege is to see the next generation using this facility. Because at the end of the day, this is just bricks and mortar. But hasn't it given us great windows of opportunity within the community, within our nation, and, you know, within the world, that we are kind of, you know, affecting and having an effect across the nations. You know, Julian and Sarah's work at the moment is because we have been able to establish ourselves here, run things well, we've got a good name. You know, God's name is a good name, isn't it? God's name is a good name, and his work is good. And it's because of the gift of giving was, you know, done, and we are continuing in that. And who knows what the next building will be. It'll be fantastic to all be part of the next stage of Cornerstone's journey. And I think for us, it's back to the whole principle of sowing and reaping, isn't it? What we sow, we reap. And between us, you know, we can give. Corporately, we can give. Individually, we can give of our time, of the resources we have, of our talents, of our finances, because it's the heart that God is interested in. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 7. Each one should give as he has decided in his heart to give. You should not be sad when you give, and you should not give because you feel forced to give. God loves the person who gives happily, and God can give you more blessings than you need. Then you will always have plenty of everything, enough to give to every good work. It is written in the scriptures, he gives freely to the poor. The things he does are right and will continue forever. And I think when we're looking at sowing and reaping, this is a principle for life, isn't it? Particularly in our giving. And so our attitude when we give is the most important part, it more than the amount of what we can give. And God gives us resources to use and invest for him. And Paul uses the illustration of seed. to explain that the resources that God gives us aren't to be just hidden away or foolishly wasted or thrown away, but God wants us to cultivate our gifts, our giving, in order to produce more crops. A couple of months ago, I bought a few packets of seed. They're still on my shelf in my kitchen. They're not going to grow. They're not going to be cultivated. They're not going to produce a crop because they're still on my shelf in the kitchen. And it's the same with the gifts and with giving. You know, when we give, when we sow, we will reap. Not necessarily back in money terms, but where we sow, there will be a harvest. It may be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, but it will certainly be an eternity. Let's really apply that area, you know, to that area of our lives, sowing and reaping. And so God wants us to cultivate these gifts. When we invest in his work, he will provide for our needs. And as we bless others, so we will be blessed. It's not necessarily talking about money here, but in blessing others with our resources, time, money, food, whatever we give, we will be blessed. And one of the best cures for depression is to go and bless someone. It's amazing. It really is. It sounds a bit strange at first. But, you know, if we're prone to feeling down and being a little bit depressed at times, you know, one of the best cures or the best way out of that season of life is to go and give. Because it shifts our mind and our focus off of ourselves onto another person. It may seem a bit strange at first, but one of the easiest ways to feel better about ourselves is to go and help and make someone else feel better. So whether it's using our time, resources or finances in running an errand or helping someone or visiting or giving, you know, that is a really good way to see that gift used, and it helps us to feel better inside as well. God loves a cheerful giver. That's a lovely verse, isn't it? God loves a cheerful giver. A person gifted in giving is a person who enjoys giving to others and does it cheerfully. Another Greek word here is called hilarotes. Hilarotes? Hilarotes. And it basically is the word, maybe I won't do Greek, maybe it's the word, it is the word where the word hilarious comes from. It's the Greek word where we get the English word hilarious from. It's quite a descriptive word, isn't it? So when we're giving, you know, be hilarious about it. You know, be ha ha ha, cheerful, happy, woohoo, I'm giving, woohoo. Obviously not literally, of course. But to give cheerfully means to give with laughter, a merry heart, ready to sow. It's not, oh no, the offering basket's coming around again. Oh no, Adam's coming to talk to me about tithing and tax relief and all this and all the rest of it. It's not that sense of, oh no, you know, I've got to give. It's a sense of being ready to give with a joyful heart into God's work and for his purposes. So the Bible teaches us to be ready to give with joy in our heart, remembering ultimately that the reason we give is because God gave to us. And it's remembering all that God has done for us in sending Jesus, his one and only Son, to this earth to die in our place for all the stuff that we've done wrong, that we may have a relationship repaired with God and an eternity in heaven. The stuff we do wrong, the sins forgiven, our slate wiped clean, and a relationship that we can, you know, move and grow in. And that's fantastic. So the reason we give is because God has given so much to us. So much more than stuff on earth that's going to fade away. You know, God has given us something real and tangible that lasts forever. Richard Foster in his book says, giving with a generous heart has a way of routing out that old miser within us. Just the very act of giving away or letting go of something that's like a treasure or something important to us, like money or whatever, does something within us. And that something is, it destroys the demon of greed. Do you know, greed. We live in a greedy world. This Western civilization we live in has become very greedy. It's all about me, 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 more, more, more. Never satisfied, never happy. It's always, you know, me and more. And greed is the love of money and possessions. It is the desire for more, 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 never, you know, fulfilling that void inside us. But greed is when the desire for more money or more material wealth replaces or causes us to ignore our spiritual well-being. And there is a reason why Jesus said to watch out for the love of money. It's not money, it's the love of money and greed, because it feels like, it's like an addiction. It's like every other addiction. If we're in an addiction, it feels great when we're pursuing it. But like every other addiction, when it's had its way, it leaves a person feeling empty, alone, and miserable. Matthew 6 says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that is a constant challenge to us living in our country, isn't it? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up treasure in heaven. Now, let me just say, there's nothing wrong with money. We all need it. There's nothing wrong with possessions. There's nothing wrong in being wealthy. There's nothing wrong in attaining wealth. There's nothing wrong in upsizing. There's nothing wrong with changing our car. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. That's great and can also be a blessing. But it is the love of these things. It is the love of these things. It's just, if the pursuit of all these things begins to damage our lives or our relationships or our health in the pursuance of it, or our integrity, and especially our spiritual walk with God. Greed and the love of money is when these things become the reason for living, or the driving force for our motivation for more stuff. And that's when greed can get a hold of us. And so if we ever find ourselves in a situation where the love of money has a hold on us, there is good news. Because Jesus said, give your way out of greed. So to turn the corner away from greed, if it's got a hold of us at any time, Jesus says to give. Because greed is an issue of the heart, just as like giving is an issue of the heart. And I suppose when we come to the realization that everything I own in the first place, or everything that I have in the first place, is a gift directly from God anyway, and I recognize that my true value is in him, not in my stuff, not in how much I earn, not in what I prove myself in, but our true value is in him. Our true value is in Jesus. That is when these things cease to be important in our lives. Because Jesus said, don't build bigger barns, but be rich toward God. Every time we give, we break the grip of greed. So to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, turn to follow God, his ways first in everything, in giving, in every area of our lives. What is really important to you? What is really important to you? What is really important to us? People, relationships, money, possessions, goals, our dreams, all these things can compete for priority within our lives. And any of these things can quickly push God out of first place if we're not actively choosing to give him first place in every area of our lives. And, you know, young people, especially to young people, I would say, God first in everything. Start your life as you mean to go on. God first in everything. God first in your giving. God first in your career prospects. God first in choosing where you live and put your roots down. God first in everything, because it'll save you a lot of pain in later life. God first in everything. God first in your conduct. God first in the choices that you make. And that's for all of us as well. Bring your choices before God, him first. And all these things will be given to you as well. That is what the Bible tells us. Don't worry about your future. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Live for today. And that's for all of us. And so even in our giving of finances, the Bible makes it clear. And this is a great verse. I love this. Right. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. Now we get into the nitty-gritty, okay? Be sure to save 1/10 of all your crops each year. Take it to the place the Lord your God will choose, where he is to be worshipped. And this is where we take the principle in church life of giving to God the first fruits, the first 10% of what we earn. Why? Because it puts God first in our lives. For example, what we do first with our money shows what we value the most. Do you value God's work? Do you value reaching people? Do you value helping people? Do you value investing in children? Do you value these things? Because when we give to God the first 10% of our earnings, and we give that first to God in our lives, it shows where our true value is. Several years ago, an uncle of Adam, who is the manager of the Wildfowl and Wetlands Trust in Llanelli, Penclacwydd, I'm sure you've been there, some of you, he said, "We're putting on a mud festival. Will you come and do a stall and just do anything to do with mud? Just do anything," he said. I said, "Right, okay, that's not hard. I can do mud packs. I can do face mud packs. Great." He said, "You know, make stuff, sell it, you know, whatever." And so I thought, right, I'll make some Mississippi mud pies. I'll make some energy mud balls. I'll do face packs for women. And so the children are often involved with my sort of little industries because they are like my slave labour because they're cheap. Cheap and cheerful and cute, so people buy of them. No, I'm only joking. I don't really love money. And so we went to the Mud Festival, we set up our stall, and I said to Sam, who was about 7 at the time, I said, "Right, you man this part of the stall, and everything you sell, you can keep the profits." Oh, great, he was chuffed, because he really likes all that kind of stuff. And so at the end of the day, he'd sold out. I'd made cakes and these little mud energy balls, which are full of seeds and dried fruit and all that kind of thing. And they looked like mud because they all turned brown. They were really disgusting. But they went down a treat with all the health conscious. It was fantastic. And so he sold out. And so he had about 30 quid on the table. To a 7-year-old, that's like to us £1,000, right? So we came home and he had all these pound coins and 5-pound notes and 50 pences on the table. And we said, "Right, you can keep the profits as a bit of pocket money for your hard day's labour." And he was thrilled. And we said, "What do you want to spend it on? Do you want to put it in the bank?" Sammy said no, because he just spends everything, you know, pocket money, just spends it straight away. Isaac, on the other hand, stashes it. Naomi just gives it away. She's like me. No. And so he said, "I want to buy a football top. I want to buy a football kit with my name on." We said, "Right, okay, that's great. So what else do you think you should do with this money now then, Sam?" And he said, "Oh, well, I could put some of it, like all the grown-ups do on a Sunday, I could put some of it in the basket that comes round." So we were like, brilliant. So we sat down, and there and then at the kitchen table, at the age of 7, we explained to him about tithing, this spiritual principle of giving. Because it's great to do these things earlier on in our lives, because it's a lot easier to give things away then when we're just used to storing up stuff for ourselves. And so we sort of worked out the 10%, so he had his £3, and the next day he put his £3 in the basket. And I was really thrilled because, you know, to teach children at a young age to live out these little principles in life is just really great to see, and I was really chuffed. And so here, out of the change, he tithed first, and then out of his little pocket money, he bought his first football kit with his name on, out of his hard-earned money. Oh, isn't that nice? Doesn't fit him anymore. It fits you though, doesn't it? Sorry. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Deuteronomy 14:22. You know, let's live by that. A great principle for living. Let's cultivate a giving attitude at a young age, at a middle age, at old age, whatever age we are, we can all cultivate a giving attitude, and it makes life a lot easier when we're not sort of, you know, hung up about hanging on to everything that we have, because it's God's anyway. Okay, so let's sum up then. Let's be a people who love to give. Let's continue to be that people, because we are that people. You know, God may challenge us a little bit, but, you know, we are a people who love to give, and that's fantastic. Let's be yes people, people who make things happen in God's kingdom and for God's work, because it all takes money, it all takes time, it all takes energy, resources, it takes people to make these things happen. Because God uses people, doesn't he? He uses you and I to make things happen. Understand that all of our resources belong to God, and that when we give, we are serving him when we release our gifts to others. Let's be cheerful in our giving, not begrudging with a bad attitude. Let's realize that God gives through us. We are all called to give. It is one of the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. It's up there with prayer, worship, serving, you know, reading God's word. It's one of the really important Christian disciplines. There are those who are especially gifted at giving, and the Bible says, you know, to fan that gift into flame. You know, to fan, you know, to make, you know, to carry on, to do it, to be an example to others. And for me, I think it's really a privilege to give because it influences people's lives and it advances God's work. I have received and it's been fantastic. It's given me opportunity and it's given me, you know, a chance in life to receive. And so when we're giving, you know, we're helping another person receive. And for me, it's a privilege to be part of a church that is a giving church. It's so lovely to not be in a church that is stingy, you know, with a stingy group of people. You know, you are all such a giving group of people, and that is a privilege to, you know, be a part of. And so that's it. So should we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you gave your life for us. That is the reason we are all sitting in this room today. That is the one thing all of us have in common, Lord, is that you died on a cross to save us from our sin, to save us from ourselves, that we can have an eternity with you. I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for every giving heart here. I pray that those who are especially gifted in this gift, this area of giving, you would bless abundantly. You would fan into flame that gift within us as a church, Lord. And Lord, you know, for those of us, and myself included, where sometimes it's a challenge to give, but can perhaps be a challenge to give sacrificially at times because of different circumstances, I pray that you would be, you know, Jehovah God, our provider, that you would really bless this church and the work that takes place here. And you would bless every business in the room. I pray that you would bless every job. I pray you would bless every household and family. I pray that you bless all the students. In Jesus' name, amen.